The United States is currently one of only six countries without a national paid leave policy. These are laws that allow employees to take time off to care for themselves or family members without foregoing their pay. A federal entitlement program has been in and out of the Democrats' big social policy plan in Washington. Earlier this year, President Biden proposed eventually ramping up to 12 weeks of at least partial paid family leave. It's kind of complicated, but it would be up to $4,000 a month with an 80% paycheck guarantee for the lowest wage workers. That plan was at one point cut entirely, then it was restored to 4 weeks. It remains a point of negotiation and contention. And regardless, these conversations have been ramping up during the pandemic, really. And backers of a national paid leave policy say it's more important than ever, especially for caregivers. Meanwhile, many business leaders in the past have opposed mandating employers pay for leave, worrying about increased costs. And of course, there are the usual concerns about federal spending if the government pays for the program. Joining us now is someone who has had personal experience with paid family leave. Corliss King is a Chicago Midway-based flight attendant. She's also the second vice president of TWU Local 556, which represents Southwest Airlines employees. And she advocated for legislation in Illinois that allows airline workers to use accumulated sick leave to care for their sick relatives. Corliss, thank you so much for joining us today on the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'd also like to welcome back Professor Bob Bruno. He's director of the Labor Education Program at the University of Illinois. He's been researching the effects of sick leave policies in the state, especially in relation to COVID-19. Professor Bruno, thank you for joining us again.
Always nice to be with you. Thank you.
Also with us is Todd Meisch, who is the head of the Illinois State Chamber of Commerce. Todd, thank you for being here as well. And while we see if we still have Todd with us, he might be just muted in the Zoom era. You're there, Todd?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Thank you for being here as well. Listeners, you are invited to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21ST Show. Corliss, I want to begin with you. Your experience caring for your husband, Terrence, helped change this law in Illinois. Before we get to the actual legislation, I wonder if you could share with us what Terrence was like.
I'm happy to do that. My husband was an ideal partner for me. I tend to be, I identify myself as kind of a firecracker. I'm a person who's always able to speak up and speak out, and I'm pretty much the first one to charge forward. And for me, he was an ideal partner because he was always so laid back and he always had my back. I always had a safe place to land with him. So while I was kind of out ringing the alarms, I knew I could come home to him and he would be the level playing field that I needed to be able to release and to just relax. So we were really yin and yang in that regard. And it really worked for 24 years.
And when he became sick, what options did you have when it came to working for him and your family and also caring for him?
So Terrence was a very, very active father. He was involved. We co-parented, truly co-parented as a married couple. Our family, our two daughters, I have two daughters, Nayla Hale and Adar Hale, and they are 20 and 22 now. And his illness struck when they were still in high school. They were young. And so what his illness meant was that as a flight attendant whose job is transient, right? I'm always moving and I'm in a different city. So when something would come up, I wouldn't be able to address it like someone who was working downtown at an office. It meant me having to come back home from out of state and maybe not being able to get a flight. So he was very, very active and hands-on with our children. He was a security professional and he had a success in his own right, but it was always a bit of comfort knowing that he was able to be at home while I was able to do a career I love, which is being a flight attendant.
And
when
were
he
you,
became ill.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So when he became ill, it really changed the dynamic of our family. It meant that the cornerstone and the one who was located and stable and foundational had shifted, it meant that I had to really rethink a lot of choices in my career and a lot of choices in our economic situation, because his illness required advocacy. His illness required help. He had end-stage renal disease that he was diagnosed with, and that meant dialysis and those ancillary things that come with dialysis. It meant bouts to the hospital. It meant prolonged stays sometimes. It meant procedures. And so the dynamic overnight shifted for us. And it was also a challenge because he was no longer able to be a breadwinner in the family. He was on disability. And so the choices that I had to make were not just impactful on my career in the sense that I would have to make different choices in terms of flying, but it also meant my decisions were economic, which was a very difficult place to be as a caregiver and as a woman, as a mother, and as a wife, to have to make decisions with the thought of the economic impact in addition to the emotional impact our family was already going through.
And were you permitted to use, you know, your accumulated sick time to take time off to care for him, to use your sick time to care for him?
No. And I have to say that the beauty of being a flight attendant is that it does afford you some flexibility. However, and my company was fabulous about helping me move trips around or taking trips off my board if I had an emergency. But those types of things are great in terms of giving you the time, but it did not help in terms of the economic impact on my family. So being able to not have to go to work for a trip because I have a family emergency around his care doesn't really help when it reduces the income I have to take care of my family. So when we got the notification that the state law had changed and that there was a provision that allowed family leave using your accumulated sick time, it really was something that I thought would finally give me a chance to breathe and to concentrate on helping him be well, helping him stay healthy.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you. We need to take a break, but the sort of, you got that notice, and then there was another notice saying, whoops, we were mistaken. Actually, airline employees and railroad employees were excluded from that law. We're going to talk more about the Illinois law in this regard and the federal proposals. But like I said, we need to take a break. We're talking about paid family leave, 800-222-9455, if you want to join our conversation here on the 21st. More to come. Stay with us. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about paid family leave. As I mentioned earlier, there is a federal proposal that has been in and out of the Democrats' big social policy plan in Washington. And there has been action on the state on this front in recent years as well. And conversation about paid family leave has obviously been ramping up during the pandemic, when a lot of people have had to take time away from work to care for loved ones. So we're discussing this with Corliss King, who's a flight attendant based out of Chicago Midway. She's also second vice president of TWU Local 556, which represents Southwest Airlines employees. We're also speaking with Professor Bob Bruno, director of the Labor Education Program at the University of Illinois, and Todd Meisch, head of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. If you have ever had to take advantage of unpaid family leave, would you rather have had paid family leave? Or maybe you have an employer that sort of provided it on their own, not, you know, without being required to by the state, or obviously this federal program is not passed yet. So we want to hear your experiences with family leave. 800-222-9455. So Bob Bruno, can you talk about we heard just before the break that Corliss had this experience where she thought she was going to be able to use her accumulated sick time to care for her husband, but it turned out that that wasn't the case. Why were airline workers excluded from that in the past here in Illinois?
Transportation workers have been covered under different labor law for decades. There is a national law, the National Railway Labor Act, that covers transportation workers. And very often, state labor and employment relations laws mirror the national laws as they apply to the private sector. So I'm not certain what the discussions were at the state level, but there may have been some interaction with the interpretation of the way in which the National Railway Labor Act covers transportation workers that may have required an exemption to be made in this situation. But frankly, without sort of understanding better what the debates were and what maybe the objections were, why there would be that carve out, other than for perhaps the application of the federal law, it isn't otherwise clear to me.
Yeah, sort of standardizing across the 50 states. Todd, let me ask you, when the Illinois passed that law some years ago, where was the Illinois Chamber of Commerce on that?
Illinois Chamber of Commerce, number one, our basic premise is that as many decisions as possible related to the workforce should be made between employers and their employees, because workplaces are different. The workplace at Southwest Airlines is very different from the lawn and garden shop here in Springfield, Illinois. So we like to keep the decision-making as close as possible to the workplace, employers working with their employees to determine. I'll be honest, I think that while we were technically opposed, we knew that this was something that had broad bipartisan consensus, and we knew it was going to pass while we were technically opposed on principle. The reality is that most of our employers said, if people need to take their time off to care for a sick child or a sick spouse or a grandparent, they're just simply going to go ahead and use their own sick time anyway. And it may not be technically compliant with the law, but that's what happens in the real workplace.
Interesting. So Bob, I mentioned in the introduction, out of hundreds of countries, the U.S. is one of just six that does not have any sort of national paid leave policy. This is something a lot of Democrats have been trying and seemingly failing to pass. But although, you know, we'll see. But do you have a sense that COVID is changing people's minds on this issue?
Well, I definitely think the experience that women went through during COVID, keep in mind that anywhere from 4 to 5 million women disappeared from the labor force over the past year, and research that's been done nationally, research that we've done here in Illinois, clearly points to the need to be at home, the need to be with family for an assortment of reasons. Sometimes it is direct illness of the employee, the worker. Sometimes it's family. Sometimes it's a child. Sometimes it's a child who is considered a close contact and has to be quarantined. So women were essentially pushed out of the job market. And what they say, what women say when they are surveyed, and we did a large survey here in Illinois, what we found out was that the inability to be at home, you know, the struggling with keeping a job and managing the family was the essential reason. And so there's an enormous cost to the family. And of course, Cora's talked in a very personal way. But keep in mind, only about 14% of private sector employees in the United States have any paid family leave provided by the employers. And while I'd like to think, as Todd mentioned, that the vast majority of employers just do the right thing, that isn't what the social science research demonstrates. And it's not just a huge cost to people like Corliss and her family, but businesses lose out on billions of dollars because of a choice, essentially, that employees have to make. And very often, they'll choose to leave the workforce. And this is a burden. This is an enormous tax, really, on women who are not only in, of course, the workplace, but they're still primarily responsible for issues that occur either for a child, their own illness, or perhaps an elderly member of their family. And I think the other thing that COVID did was it also just sort of laid bare how exposed workers are in this country, unlike the rest of the world. And by the way, we're one of only six nations, and a number of those nations are small Pacific Island countries. So where it's really quite an embarrassment where the United States is on this. And only nine states, depending on how you count, provide any paid family leave. So COVID really did kind of rip bare the vulnerability of more than half of our labor force. It's kind of hard to imagine a prosperous middle class if women aren't in a position to be in the workforce, but also manage the challenges that occur at home.
Corliss, I'm sure you have had quite the last year and a half. I mean, airlines were sort of on the front lines of some of the pandemic response and the economic hardships. Can you talk about, would you like to see a paid leave policy at the national level?
I think it is imperative that the conversation shifts to protecting women and in turn protecting families. I'm excited to hear that you all are elevating this conversation about this bias toward women. In my particular field as a flight attendant, we are 80% women. So when you look at the inability to care for your family, you're taking a workforce, and our carve-out represented a workforce that was disproportionately impacted and found women disproportionately impacted in this carve-out that wasn't necessary. I want to make another very quick point, is that when I work with another flight attendant on the same trip, the same time, the same work, they have a benefit because they happen to live in California that I didn't in Illinois. And there was no logic behind it. I think that when you look at the complexity of the Railway Labor Act, the assumption is made that we could not be included, but that is not the case. State after state did not exclude us under the Railway Labor Act. So Illinois, I'm very proud of the work that the General Assembly did in passing that legislation to protect families. However, the carve-out of those of us under the Railway Labor Act undermined the intent of that law, and that was disproportionately affecting those of us who are charged with caring for our passengers. We're charged with being first responders. We have an obligation to not have to make the choice between our families and our careers when our laws meant to protect us. So I'm excited to hear the conversation, and we need this national protection because nobody should be able to do the same job across state lines and have completely different benefits. That's the only way we're going to level the playing field.
Todd, I wonder, does the Illinois Chamber have a position on the federal action taking place? Would you support 4 weeks of paid leave as Democrats in Congress are proposing?
The details are always what matters. And here's why this may be my last segment here. I'm going to tell you, I think there really is a pathway forward. When you look at national programs, and this does need to be a national program, 50 different paid leave programs is something that, number one, is not workable for companies and industries that operate across state lines daily. It's just not workable. And second, it's highly constitutionally dubious. So as much as I like Senator Hastings as a legislator, he's a very smart guy. I know he's committed to this issue. He's probably passed a piece of legislation that is not going to withhold constitutional muster. So I think we got to shift back to a 50-state strategy that has conservative Republicans and progressive liberals coming together to decide on a national basis what the rules are going to be, and it'll cover everybody. So I think that there is a pathway forward. Senator Manchin certainly gets a little bit of press these days, but I think he's right when he says, when he has a problem with taxpayer-funded paid time off that becomes essentially an entitlement, when you've got the opportunity to have a bipartisan consensus that's sustainable over years and years and decades, like Social Security, like Medicaid, like Medicare, that's the way to go, and that's the pathway forward from the Illinois Chamber's point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like there might be some room for bipartisan, if anything bipartisan could happen these days. That's vanishingly small opportunities, but I mean, people might remember that Ivanka Trump proposed a family leave policy, although like a lot of domestic policy things in the Trump administration, it didn't really end up going anywhere. Bob, what do you see as the prospects here and the stumbling blocks? I mean, or if you just want to react to what Todd had to say, and we only, I should say, have about a minute left in our conversation.
Well, I'll be short because maybe Corliss really should take priority given her experiences. So I think one of the stumbling blocks, quite frankly, are large employers, and this isn't meant as a criticism of Todd. He represents his organization well, but historically it has been organizations like the Chamber, large employers who have resisted what they see as mandates on their businesses. So that's a roadblock, quite frankly. I think another roadblock is really understanding how this should be funded and why it actually should be something that the employer is responsible for doing. I think we can look at European countries who are quite diverse economies, just as capitalistic as the United States is, and they have such policies. And in many ways, they outperform the United States on a whole host of well-being issues, and they're just as economically dynamic. So we've got a whole world out there that's figured out how to do that, and we shouldn't ignore those examples.
Corliss, we're almost out of time. I don't know if you have just a few sentences to sort of end our conversation. Go ahead.
I do. I have three really quick things. One, Illinois passed this correction that started as a grassroots effort by myself and just a couple of flight attendants on a bipartisan level. So there is bipartisan support for putting us back. I want to make that point. The second thing I wanted to say very quickly is this legislation is not allocating new time. So when we talk about how do we fund it, I've already earned it. I can't take more sick time under this legislation than I've earned by just going to work. So sure, there is no new time and new burden being created. The third thing I wanted to say is, my husband did not live to see this law pass. He passed away in 2020. I started this fight in 2017. So to me, this law would have allowed me more time, sure, which is not numerable. There's no cost that you can put to it that's going to make any sense to me when I have less time with my husband because I had to choose whether I could support my family.
And I'm afraid we have to end the show there. I want to thank my guests. They've been Corliss King, Bob Bruno, and Todd Meisch. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening.